WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Coming up later in this hour, after the 8:30 news, we're going to be talking about the decision by Seekonk Speedway to end the Powder Puff races, which were races that were designed for women. There are some folks who are upset by this decision, who are starting a petition, and we'll give you all the information about how you can sign that. But we also have... I reached out to Seekonk Speedway and got their perspective on why these changes are happening. And I can just give you a spoiler alert. They did say they are open to bringing them back if there's interest. So they need you to show that you have that interest. That's what this petition is hoping to accomplish. So we'll talk about that and more coming up a little bit later on in this hour. But until then, it's all about you at 508-996-0500. We talked about Mayor Mitchell's State of the City address, which you heard here on WBSM yesterday, which you can hear in Barry's podcast, which you can read in its entirety in either one of the two stories we have on it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. We had a story written by our new Stonehill College intern, Mac Eon, who wrote about the technological advances the city is making and the emphasis on data collection and using that data to help better run the city. And then also I wrote up a story on the fact that Mayor Mitchell said that by spring, the police department should be back up to 230 police officers, which while still less than the complement of 250 that they're looking to, that's kind of the target range, it's better than the low of 199 that it hit in 2024. So, and he talked about some of the reasons why they're able to increase police staffing and where he sees the police department and public safety going forward in this next year. So you can read about both of those on the website, on the app, and you can read the full text of Mayor Mitchell's speech at the link that's in each one of those. And if you want to watch it, see it visually, New Bedford Cable Access has it on their Facebook page and website as well. So it was, you know, this one more than anything I thought was a round of congratulations for everybody involved in the things that have been happening, a little bit about what we can expect going forward in the future. But no real surprises. And there was some speculation that there might have been a surprise involved in this because typically we usually get the speech ahead of time. But we did not get the speech until just as the mayor was taking the stage. They handed out copies of it for us to follow along with. And I quickly scanned through just to see if there was any bombshells that would be dropped. But nothing that I could see. Didn't mean that the mayor wouldn't say it without having printed it. But I think this was just more of a matter of he was, you know, tweaking the speech as he usually does right up until it's time to give it. And was able to recognize a number of people, including recognizing those involved with Operation Clean Sweep. Every year he likes to focus on a different group doing good work in the city. And this year he focused on Operation Clean Sweep and the work that they do in helping battle the litter problem. And there were some new initiatives that were announced, of course, the NB Connected app, which we have the story on, and how that will help with streamlining all the city services into one app for people to be able to use. And then also some of the roadmap for economic growth that's being put together, some other initiatives that are being put together, including being able to check in on every one of the 12,000 trees that have been planted in the city by the city. You can find out about each and every one of those on a forthcoming website. So for all of you tree fans, get ready to geek out. It's kind of a joke people make about Mayor Mitchell that he loves trees, but he does. And he's right. They are a very important part of a city, offering not only something beautiful to look at and cleaner air, but also shade. And as he pointed out, traffic control, it forces people to slow down. So, hey, I don't think anybody's against trees. People just want to have trees that are well-maintained, and the city has been doing that and working toward getting better on that. He also talked about some of the road improvements that are coming, the continued road improvements. He talked about continued improvements in the city's education. More renovations coming to schools. Of course, there's new schools coming as well. And he talked about how the offshore wind industry is here to stay. So despite the position of the Trump administration, it's here to stay. And, you know, it makes sense because they've already invested so much. And a presidency only lasts 4 years. And who knows what the next 4 years will be, whether it'll be somebody that comes in office who is more friendly toward offshore wind. Or maybe this administration changes course at some point in the next 4 years. Because when you look at it, 1,451 days, while it doesn't seem like a long time, it can be a long time to change your mind on things. So maybe there's a way that the two sides can discuss it and hash it out and figure out a way to go forward and get some of those concerns alleviated. Maybe in those 4 years, better studies come out that show what the impact will be environmentally, on fishing, on things like that. So, I don't know. I'm trying to be positive about it. I'm trying to think that there might be some room for compromise there. But certainly, you know, these wind companies are not going to walk away from their investment just because there's a person in office for the next 4 years that is opposed to what it is they're doing. Speaking of people who are usually opposed to one another, we got a press release, and I didn't get a chance to address this yet. Let me see if I can find. I think they sent it to my work email, not to the news. Give me 1 second. You would think I would have had it all pulled up before I talked about it. Okay. So it was announced yesterday that Senator Ed Markey and Senator Ted Cruz were going to reintroduce their bill to keep AM radios in new vehicles. So as you know, we had Senator Markey on the program. I forget if it was this show or when I was still on in the 9 o'clock slot, but we had Senator Markey join us. And he talked about the importance of keeping AM radio in vehicles. Now, the problem is they're creating these new electric vehicles and they're taking out AM radio is because they're saying that AM radio causes interference with some of the electrical systems in the car. And their viewpoint on this is it doesn't matter because people don't listen to AM radio anymore. And I think most of you out there who are listening right now on 1420 AM would say that's not true at all. That lots of people still listen to AM radio. And that's what all of our data and research shows too. I mean, as much as I come on here every day and try to push you to listen on the app because you get crystal clear sound with no signal problems, no matter where you are, anywhere in the world, you can hear the station. As much as I try to say, listen to the FM at 99.5 FM, because why would you want to listen to the AM station? We know AM can get some buzz and some signal issues and all that when you get nice crystal clear FM sound as an option. For some people, they prefer the AM feel. And yeah, I mean, I can understand that for talk radio too, but I mean, when I'm in the car, I'm listening on 99.5. But I don't want to see AM go away, not just for our station, but for any AM station. And neither do Senators Markey or Cruz. So this is a bipartisan effort to make sure that they can pass a law that would require these vehicles to keep AM radios in the car and at no additional charge. So Senator Markey said, as we witness more tragic climate change-induced disasters like wildfires in Los Angeles, broadcast AM radio continues to be a critical tool for communities. AM radio is a lifeline for people across the country for news, sports, and especially emergency information. Tens of millions of listeners across the country have made clear that they want AM radio to remain in their vehicles. Our AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act heeds their words and ensures that this essential tool doesn't get lost in the dial. Senator Cruz also had a statement. Senator Cruz said, "During weather disasters or power outages, AM radio is consistently the most reliable form of communication and is critical to keeping millions of Texans safe. AM radio has long been a haven for people to express differing viewpoints, allowing free speech and our robust democratic process to flourish for decades. I am honored to once again partner with Senator Markey on this bipartisan legislation on behalf of our constituents who depend on AM radio and public airwaves for access to news, music, talk, and emergency alerts." And I'm not going to go through the list of all of the co-sponsors in the Senate on this bill, but I'm looking at the list. It's probably about 30 names, and it is a mix of Democrats and Republicans. This is a true bipartisan effort. I'll hit you with some of the big names that are in this. Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut, Katie Britt. We all remember Katie Britt, right? From Alabama, Tom Cotton, Chuck Grassley, Josh Hawley, Maggie Hassan, Amy Klobuchar, Jack Reed, of course, here locally in Rhode Island, Bernie Sanders, Rick Scott, Gene Shaheen. These are just some of the big names that are behind this. So let's support this as much as we can. I'm going to reach out to Senator Markey's office again and see if we can get him to come back on and give us an update on this. I'm also going to reach out to Senator Cruz in his office as well. Less likely that we'll be able to get Senator Cruz on just because we're not a local constituency. So they might say, oh, well, you know, Senator Markey can handle interviews in your market. But I want to reach out to his office, too, just so we can reiterate that it's a bipartisan effort. I mean, ideally, I'd love to get the two of them on the phone at once, but I don't know if that's going to be possible. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hi.
How you doing?
Wouldn't that be something to have a three-way? That would be awesome. I don't see Senator Cruz either.
Don't say anything, Tim. Don't say anything, Tim.
What?
You mean a three-way conversation?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I naively stepped into that. Yes, Tim.
But point taken, yes, it would be excellent to have both Senator Markey and Senator Cruz on the phone.
I think that would be awesome. So I got to tell you, because I'm here by the airport, I cannot get you on FM. And certain stations I can get with no problem at all. But for some reason, I can't get to. So I have to have you on AM. I got to literally hit the back of my radio, switch it over to AM.
The good thing is that, you know, nobody's proposing taking it off of radios, like handheld radios. Right. But the problem is who has a radio in their home anymore? Really, it's hard to find them. You can't walk into Walmart and buy them. They only have a couple of options and they're not really great sound quality. You know,
have a few.
Yeah, but it's nothing to write home about. It's not like the old days when you could get a nice hi-fi system.
No, so my brother, he chose to live in the woods. He built his own house. He was very clever in every kind of way. And when he would come here, because in the winter, you know, I'd say, okay, come on, it's getting a little too cold. How much canisters of heat can you use? I forget what the real name of them things are that he would use. But he would come here and he had this... these particular radios, and he got stations all the way from China. And I'd hear him laughing. I wake up in the middle of the night, he'd be laughing because he was like participating in his mind. He never called these shows, but he was such a wealth of knowledge. And I figured out where he got all his knowledge from listening to all these shows. But his handheld radio literally got him that far. And needless to say, since he passed on, I have these things. And they're just now, but what you put the headphone set on, like plug it in to the radio. Some of them, like, are really, like, I turn it on once in a while just, you know, to see if I can maybe find something that he would be listening to, but I don't have the patience for that. So anyways, I digressed. I'm so sorry. So from the airport, anyways, where I'm at, I need my plug-in radio. Plug-in, I have to go to AM in order to get to, because like I say, for some reason, I can get every other FM station, but I can't get to on FM. And also, my phone, being 5G and so close to the airport, it'll interrupt a game or a movie. It will put it on pause. And right in, I'll be like, are you kidding me? And then I'll hear this. It'll be the bigger type of jet type of things, planes. Like, we don't got real huge, you know. You know what I'm talking about, the size planes. But mm-hmm. they're big enough to where it interferes with my phone. And 5G does interfere with the tower. So while they're rebuilding a new tower over there, hopefully that will not be a problem for me, even with my phone. And Mayor Mitchell's, I just want to say, I thought that speech. I wish I would help Chris, if he's listening, get him on the show by Friday so everybody can, with a fresh approach to this, say how they feel about the mayor's speech. I thought it was great. I thought it was funny. And I mean, nothing new, nothing old there. Like, nothing spectacular coming. I mean, it was pretty much, he touched on everything that everybody, you know, probably knew, you know.
Yeah, and I think his approach was, you know, to show that we're moving in the right direction, stay the course, and keep moving ahead. I think that, that's the basic overall tone of it, and I think that's what should have been conveyed.
Yes, he was definitely trying to keep the positivity of everything for us naysayers and stuff, because I am a little bit of a naysayer. I love the mayor so much, though. So I could see, like, he was giving us the positivity to just hold on a little longer. Let's wait, you know, this kind of thing. I can't wait. If the mayor can't come in until Wednesday, that's fine. I just can't wait to call Chris about that. And I don't know. I rambled on. I had another point I wanted to make, but I rambled on and forgot.
That's all right. We'll still be here tomorrow.
I know what it is. Does Mary know? Me and Mary, we have a calendar waiting for us. I guess it's from the fire department, and I've been too sick to come in, but not too sick, but you know what I mean. By Monday, mask and all, I'll come. I want to get it, and I also want to.
I don't know where those are anymore. I don't know if they disappeared.
Really?
I would just go to the fire station and ask for one. Save yourself the trip.
Oh, okay. And I wanted to ask you, did you move into your new office yet, or what's going on?
No, we haven't done any work on that yet, so holding off.
Oh, you're going to hold off on it?
Yeah, because I want to take the wall down, and I want to paint everything, so eventually I'll have time.
But. Yeah. Well, you said you wanted to take the wall down. I figured that would hold you up for a little bit, but yeah. And the Speedway, I love the fact I just can't go out in the cold. I'm allergic to the cold. Seriously, it's a condition. And like, even in the spring, I wouldn't be able to go to any races. But I didn't even know, Tim, until you brought this up, that we have female race drivers. I know Danica Patrick. What's her name?
Danica Patrick.
Patrick.
Yep.
Yes. I she's the only female race I've ever known. And I mean, she tried her hardest, but I guess, you know what I mean?
Oh, there's a lot of local women. We had one on the show a while back who, she had a Camaro.
Her.
Yep.
She does a fundraiser or something. Something about her son's death or something, right?
Right, but there's a lot of women who take part.
That's why she got into it.
There's a lot of women who take part, but some of them don't feel comfortable racing with the men because they feel like it's a little bit too aggressive toward the female drivers. We're going to get into all that coming up with our guest.
Yeah, well, I can't wait. This is going to, I'm so happy to hear this. I had no idea it was this close to us. I have no clue, so thank you for doing this.
All right, well, I got to hold you there because I got to take a break. Yep. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
And we are going to take that break. When we come back, we'll get the news from Phil, and then we'll get into that Seekonk Speedway discussion in just a bit. We'll be right back. And welcome back in. We're going to be going into the news in just a moment, but I wanted to make you aware of something. So you hear me talking all the time about how much I love getting my laundry done at Dash Laundromat, right? I don't want to do laundry anymore. I mean, if you are a person that does laundry, Dash is the place to do it because it's brightly lit. It's nice and warm, friendly, inviting. They've got great music playing every time you go in. TVs that have Disney Plus for the kids to watch while you're doing the laundry. Free Wi-Fi, a charging station for your phone or your laptop or whatever. It's a really great place to do the laundry. But I'd prefer not to do my laundry, so I like to drop it off and have them do it for me. The wash, dry, fold service is amazing. I love how great and clean everything comes out, and I can just rip it right out of the bag and throw it on if I wanted to. But they're making some changes coming up to their delivery service. Now, I've been mentioning to you, you can have them pick up and drop off your laundry. So you don't even need to go to Dash, which is located at One State Road in Dartmouth. And I do recommend going there and visiting, checking it out and seeing it for yourself. But if you want to do the delivery service, they're going to be transitioning to their new Dash Tote delivery bags as part of their continued effort to provide better service and convenience to all the customers. These new totes are going to be weather resistant, they're going to be more durable, and they're going to feature a secure zipper top to ensure that your laundry is handled with care. So they will be discontinuing the current bags. That means the black bags, the supplemental bags, the standard blue bags, the tall orange bags, and they're going to be getting rid of all of those, and they're going to have their new tote bags with their new pricing. $25 up to 20 pounds, $40 up to 35 pounds, and $55 up to 50 pounds. And they'll still have their flat fee option, but they're going to have the totes that have to be zipper closed to completely qualify for special pricing. So you can't be overstuffing them. They have to be able to zip closed. And your first replacement bag will be free of charge. And then if you need more than that, it'll be $5 per bag. So those are some of the changes that are coming. We'll see if Jason can pop on with us as they get closer to this transition to give us some more information, or I'll go down there and find out next time I'm dropping off my laundry there to get more information and be able to give you all the details. But just wanted to make you aware of that. And if you want to sign up, you can do that on dashlaundromat.com, or the easiest way, just download the Dash Laundromat app. And you could have them coming and picking up your laundry today. You could have them washing your clothes, drying your clothes, and folding your clothes so that you don't have to do any of that. And what a life changer to not have to worry about laundry anymore. All right, we'll be back in just a moment. Now we're going to turn things over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom. Then we'll be talking with our guest about Seekonk Speedway's changes to their upcoming schedule and how you can sign a petition to show them that you want to see at least one of those former programs return.
President Trump signs his first bill, the Laken Riley Act. Robert F. Kennedy faces tough questions, and a space mystery may be solved.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Donald Trump signed his first bill on Wednesday, the Laken Riley Act, named after a Georgia nursing student killed by an undocumented immigrant. The law mandates the detention of migrants accused of crimes like theft and assault, and allows states to sue the federal government over immigration enforcement failures. While the bill received some bipartisan support, most Democrats opposed it, citing due process concerns and lack of funding. Supporters argue it strengthens border security, while critics warn it could lead to mass detentions without trials. The law comes amid ongoing debate over immigration policies and their enforcement. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. faced tough questions in his Senate confirmation hearing as he seeks to become President Trump's health secretary. Senators pressed him on his past views on vaccines, abortion, and public health, with Democrats citing his history of vaccine skepticism and shifting positions on abortion. Kennedy insisted he is not anti-vaccine, but called for more research on long-established medical treatments. Republicans expressed hope he could help lower health care costs, while critics accused him of changing positions to align with Trump. He'll face a second hearing today before the Senate's Health Committee. A Temple University freshman has died after falling from a pole while celebrating the Eagles' NFC Championship victory. Tyler Sabapathy, an 18-year-old from Toronto, climbed the pole on Sunday night and fell, hitting his head on the sidewalk. The accomplished gymnast and exercise science major died on Tuesday in the hospital. He was active in Temple's gymnastics program and won over 120 medals in his career. The university released a statement expressing their condolences. Emergency alert systems are meant to keep residents safe during disasters, but they're not always working as intended. During recent wildfires in Southern California, some evacuation orders came after homes were already burning. This isn't an isolated incident. Similar alert system failures have been reported in other major fires, including the devastating fires in Paradise and Lahaina. The problem often lies in the complex communication chain between first responders, government, and the public, which can easily break down. An outside review is underway in Los Angeles County to investigate the recent failures. A privately developed jet has broken the sound barrier for the first time, marking a potential milestone in supersonic travel. The XB-1 aircraft reached Mach 1.05 over the Mojave Desert, paving the way for Boom Supersonic's future Overture airliner. Boom Supersonic aims to revive commercial supersonic passenger flights, which haven't been available since the Concorde's retirement. And that mini moon that briefly hung around Earth last year, turns out it might be a chip off the old moon. Scientists analyzing the asteroid 2024 PT5 found its composition remarkably similar to lunar rocks. While it never fully orbited Earth, its unusual horseshoe trajectory and recent departure suggest a relatively short time in space. The discovery adds to a growing understanding of lunar asteroids and the history of impacts on the moon.
WBSM Sports.
Tonight, the Boston Bruins are home at TD Garden. They'll play the Winnipeg Jets. And on Friday night, the Celtics are away to play the New Orleans Pelicans.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mostly sunny and breezy on the South Coast for your Thursday, getting up to a high around 30 degrees. On Friday, cloudy with rain developing, a high near 41. On Saturday, mostly sunny skies will hover around 36 degrees for your temperature. And on Sunday, partly to mostly cloudy, PM rain and snow likely, a high of 32. This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance.
Welcome back in. So as I mentioned, we're going to be addressing some schedule changes that are happening over at Seekonk Speedway. And it has some racers who have participated in races there in the past a little bit concerned. And they're actually starting an effort to try to bring back one of these races that has been discontinued. So joining us on the line, we have Tori Price, who is going to be speaking on behalf of some of these racers. So let's bring her on. Good morning, Tori. How are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing all right. So give us an overview of what's happening here, about what these races are that are no longer going to be happening.
All right. So I just want to state that I'm not here for myself. I personally do not race. My mom races, but I'm here talking for, you know, all the women that race those cars, the fans in the stands, you know, all the little girls who are watching these female racers. Sorry, a little emotional this morning. But that's what I'm here for. I'm here for them. I'm not here for myself. We have Seacock Speedway has done the female race. They call it the Powder Puff. They have done it for, I don't know exactly how many years, but we've been doing it for about 4 years now. And every year before, we've been to watch the races. I'm just here really to see what we can get for people to sign our petitions. We have a petition out trying to get this race back because they have taken it away this year. And it's something that really just empowers all women and, you know, little girls in the stands, like I said, to see all these women out here. And it's crazy the amount of passion that these women have behind these cars. It's not just, you know, a sport to these girls. It's their passion, the amount of blood and sweat and literal tears that they have put into these cars and these races. It's really just, it's amazing.
Well, so so when people go to this, this is more than just about being the race itself. This is about kind of this gathering, this girl power, female empowerment, everybody kind of coming together and making it into, you know, the race is just part of the overall gathering of everybody getting together in a sisterhood.
Oh, 100%, absolutely. And it's, like I said, in the stands, you don't see too much of the passion behind the driving. But when you're in the pits and, you know, if you've driven yourself and, you know, if you have a loved one behind the wheel, the amount of passion that goes behind it is just absolutely unheard of. It really just gains their confidence as well as a racer. it's a great outlet for, you know, new racers as well. So that way the females don't have to race with the men. They can just race with all females. And the females in the track are really all just like, you know, everybody's friendly. It's not even like so much as a competition, which is really empowering as well.
Well, I'm gonna give you. So I reached out to Seekonk Speedway because you reached out to us to let us know about what was going on, and so I said if I'm gonna have you on, I want to be able to talk to Seekonk Speedway and get their approach on it. So they sent a statement over. I'm just gonna read you some parts of it here, and just bear with me; it's a little lengthy. They said, "Thank you for reaching out to us. We truly appreciate the feedback from your listeners about the Powder Puff races. We know how much these races mean to the drivers who participated, and we certainly don't take the decision to discontinue them lightly." The decision to remove the Powder Puff races from the 2025 schedule was a difficult one, and it was purely a business decision driven by the need to evolve and adapt to changes in the racing landscape. Over the last 15 years, the Powder Puff races have come and gone, sometimes being held once a year, other times 3 to 5 times annually. As much as we value the tradition they brought to Seekonk Speedway, not all events maintain their popularity or continue to generate the same excitement over time. With the introduction of the Crown Vic Cruiser division this year, we have had to make some tough choices in order to keep our thrill show schedule fresh and engaging for our fans. Our goal is always to provide race fans with the most exciting, competitive, and memorable events possible. And to do that, we must prioritize divisions that draw the most interest and participation. Unfortunately, this meant that the Powder Puff races didn't fit into the 2025 schedule. While we won't be holding the Powder Puff races this season, we remain open to the possibility of bringing them back in the future, depending on the success of the new Crown Vic Cruiser division and fan feedback. Our commitment at Seekonk Speedway is to continue providing opportunities for both men and women to compete, and we are proud to have over 20 female drivers currently racing in our weekly divisions. Many others have excelled in other events like spectator drags and thrill show enduro events, and several even earning NASCAR race wins and track championships. We hope that the women who enjoyed racing in the Powder Puff events will continue to find new ways to race, whether through enduro or perhaps even the Crown Vic Cruisers. We value all of our drivers and are always looking for ways to provide exciting opportunities for everyone at the track. And they say they look forward to seeing everybody there this year. So I just want to ask you you know, you had mentioned that sometimes they're intimidated by racing with some of the men. Is that something that you've heard about from these women, that getting involved in the races that are with the male drivers don't make them feel, they don't feel like they're as accessible to the women drivers?
I mean, I really don't want to speak on that behalf, but I know firsthand that the male drivers are a little more aggressive than the females. The female is a little bit safer of a place for other female drivers to race. Like I said, the female drivers are more, you know, like friendly competition. It's not like an actual competition to these females. It is, but it's not like they are more friendly about it. I'll say that.
So with this,
is that a good enough answer for you?
No, I get what you're saying. So with this statement, you know what they're saying is, it sounds like to me, they're saying they just didn't have the interest anymore. And I think
which is strange to me. I don't really see that being the issue. I mean, the Powder Puff race is always a big hit. They have all the girls. Like when you're there, the audience, in the fan stand, I'm sorry, I can't think of the word. But it gets, you know, pretty loud. It's pretty crazy. They have all the girls count down to one for the girls to start the race. It gets very loud in there. All the girls really like it. The little girls, like I said, it's very empowering. And these women are now going to either A, be out of a race, or have to race with the men, which I know 90% of these women do not want to do. I know personally, as for my mother, she will not be racing at Seacombe Speedway anymore, which is really upsetting because my mom was diagnosed with lung cancer, so I completely changed her car to a cancer car. Her car number is 1010, and just about anybody who's been to the thrill shows, like, religiously knows my mom and knows her car. She's won 3 races. Like, this is something that we don't take lightly. We enjoy racing. Racing is a big part of our family. We can't wait to get, you know, until race season. We can't wait until, you know, that first race and then the next and the next and the next. And the fact that they said that sometimes they have one or two Powder Puffs a year, that I hate to say it, but that is not true. They hold Powder Puff races every single thrill show, which there's usually about 5 every year. They do them for, you know, special holidays. They do like a Memorial Day, I think, or a Labor Day. They do like a Midsummer. They do the 4th of July. They do a Pumpkin Smash. So they do, in every single race, every single thrill show, there is a Powder Puff. There has never, not never, but, you know, in the years that I've been here, there has never not been a Powder Puff race. So them saying that sometimes they only hold them once, that's not true. And anybody who's ever been will say the same thing. That's not true.
Well, I mean, I'm encouraged hereby to say that they remain open to the possibility of bringing them back in the future, but they need the feedback to know that people want to have these come back, and that's what this petition can help do.
That's exactly what the petition can help for. So I'm encouraging every listener right now to please go to change.org/save. The Powder Puff Division at Seekonk Speedway. Please sign the petition. You heard it yourself. The owner did say, depending on fan feedback, he may be willing to bring it back. And to the woman who was just listening, I was listening to her, and she had never been to a local women's race before. If we sign this petition and we get this Powder Puff back in this year, please reach out to me on Facebook. I will personally buy you a ticket to come watch those females race.
Well, that's great of you. And I think what this will do is, you know, sometimes people just need reminding that these things take place. So not only will you get some support for people to have this come back in the future, but now they're aware that it's there again. And this will draw out a new crowd of people and hopefully not only new spectators, but new people that are interested in driving as well.
Correct. And I mean, we all have kind of gotten together and come to the conclusion that there could have been other accommodations made to fit the Crown Vic cruisers, if that's what they want to do, plus the Powder Puffs. There's other things that they could have maybe trimmed down a little. I don't want to get into the specifics, but I just feel like there could have been other accommodations made to keep the Powder Puffs. And I just want to point out as well that they do have Crown Vics that race already, and they race with the men, or they do have Crown Vics. If it's a woman, they race in the Powder Puffs. So, you know, I just feel like there could have been other accommodations made, and I know that a lot of the other drivers feel the same.
Well, I mean, one suggestion I would make, and I know that they're saying, you know, that some of the women don't feel comfortable with the men and things like that, but I would say that, you know, now more than ever, it's important for there to be a female presence at these races and being involved in these races, and just keep reminding, you know, the Speedway management that, hey, you know, we're ready. We want to bring it back. We're ready to bring it back. And maybe that, combined with the effort of the listeners and the fans who signed that petition, it can show that this is a viable thing going forward.
Correct. And that's what we're hoping for, is some fan feedback. And hopefully we get, you know, enough signatures to really open their eyes and be like, we really need to bring this race back for these women. And it's not even just the women. I know a lot of men who are standing with the women and, you know, male drivers that are also standing with the women. And they also believe that it's not right to take out the powder puff race. It's just not right.
And, you know, as we're looking at this changing landscape of sports where people are complaining about, you know, men and women competing in the same sports as each other and, you know, women should be in women's sports and men should be in women's sports. You know, this is people that feel that way. This is an example of that. This is women who want to have their own division and they're just asking for your help, putting your name on the signature, putting your signature on this petition to help them do that.
Correct. And it's not very easy either for women to be competing in a male dominated sport either. It's definitely not easy for them to do. That's why, you know, Seekonk Speedway gave them their own division, the powder puff, to begin with. And now to take it away is, you know, a lot of women are very upset, including us.
I've got to hold you there just for a time, but why don't you give us that address for the petition one more time?
All right. If you go to change.org/SaveThePowderPuffDivision@SeekonkSpeedway, please, as many signatures as we can get.
All right, Tori, thank you for joining us. And we'll have this. We'll have a story up later on the website that'll have a link to that if people want to sign it.
That's great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, we do have to take a break here. We will be back in just a few moments. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back in. We've got a few moments remaining here. I do have one more break I have to take before the end of the hour. But as I said, we'll have a story up about this this issue just so they can sign the petition. Again, you know, we understand Seekonk Speedway's position. They're saying they're trying some other things that they think will generate some more interest and bring out more people. But and they're encouraging the women drivers to get involved in some of these other things. But as Tori was saying, the women drivers want to see this division continue. So it's going to take you coming out and supporting it and saying that you would show up for these races, whether it be to participate in them or just to watch. And Tori, if you're listening, Sketty sent in a Snapchat message and said, that's very sweet of you to offer to pay for her ticket, but she's going to pay for her own ticket so that the money stays with all of you. So I think it's something that even if you're never going to go, but you support it, sign it. But definitely if you are going to go, sign it so that they have an idea that just this is how popular it'll be. And speaking of popular, I can't tell you how much people are coming up to me and telling me how much they love going over to Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, because you hear me mention all the time about how it's the home of the Purple Dot and you can try before you buy. Well, they've got some great things coming up in February. Now that, you know, we are on the cusp of the end of dry January. We've just got one more day to get through here. And those of you who decided you're going to do dry January, you can get yourself down to Stevie's and check out exactly all the stuff that they have going on, including they're going to be having a cocktail party tasting at the end of February. You're going to be able to go to a cocktail party, shake out the winter blues, and try all different types of cocktail. That's going to be happening on February 22nd from 1 to 4 p.m. And we're going to keep letting you know as they add some cocktails to the rotation for that. We got a caller on hold. Let me take my final break, and then we'll try to squeeze you in if we got some time. But again, steviewineandspirits.com or follow them on social media and stay up to date with everything happening over there. All right, we'll be back in just a few. Oh, the worst in the world. When you go and you clear time and you say, all right, I won't play a song back and I'll move this commercial so that I have time to take this call. And then right when you're coming back from the break, the caller hangs up. It's the worst. But anyway, you'll still have time to call in and speak with Chris McCarthy on South Coast Now. Chris will have a lot to discuss with you. Chris, you're going to get into the State of the City address? He's going to get into the State of the City address. You're going to talk for the next 3 hours about the website where you can check out all the information about the 12,000 trees, right?
That I am not
going to. Okay. You're pretty excited about that. I can't wait to get on there and check out all 12,000 trees.
Arbor Day.
I'm being facetious, of course. It's a great idea. And the important thing is it's part of what Mayor Mitchell was talking about. It's the accountability of data. It's you seeing what your tax dollars are going into. So you should be able to keep that fully transparent, and this will be a way that you can do that. And, of course, you can read about the upcoming technological advances at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, including that forthcoming NB Connected app that will basically streamline all the city services into one app. So, you know, they had C-Click Fix where you could report potholes, and they had all these other things. Like, now they're bringing it all together under one banner so you can pay your bills, pay your parking tickets, all the other things, you know, put in permit applications. All of that can be done through one app, and that's going to make it a lot simpler. And then I also have the story about the police department. The mayor saying that there'll be up to 230 officers by this spring, still less than the 250 that they'd like to be at, you know, thereabouts, but still a lot better than the 199, which is the low that they hit in 2024. And he talked about some of the reasons why they've been able to increase recruiting, such as raising the minimum pay to be more reflective of what people could earn in some of the surrounding communities, to also talk about the signing bonus, the $5,000 signing bonus, and I think a big part of it too, eliminating the residency requirement. Because I knew people that were wanting to be police officers in the city that lived in other communities and didn't want to have to sell their home to move. So, you know, that's opening up the door for some of these recruits. And now they have another recruiting class going in so that maybe we can get closer to that 250 number. All right, that'll do it from me for today.